Jules, and welcome to the July 2016 Soupstones podcast. So in this podcast, the theme I've chosen for this month is how I organize my recipes. And the reason I've chosen this theme is I've been thinking a lot about organization and how I go about organizing, you know, my cooking and the rest of my life, because I've been running the Organized Cook online cooking program. And I just realized when I sat down to think about what I was going to talk about for the podcast, I was like, well, I haven't really spoken about how I organize my recipes. And I thought that just might be something that everyone would find useful, because if you're into cooking at all, like, it can get really difficult to keep track of things. And I remember, you know, for years I had folders and I tried notebooks and just, you know, I've tried a lot of different methods. And I've probably for about, I don't know, for the last 5 or 6 years, have a system that really works well for me. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity to share. So how I manage my recipes, there's kind of two parts to it. So if one is, you know, one of the beauties of having a blog and a cooking school is that, and one of the reasons I started my blog in the first place actually was just to keep track of my recipes. You know, I'd cook something amazing, I'd love it, and then 6 months later I'd think, oh, you know, that was amazing soup, you know, I want to make that soup again, and I'd have no idea of what I put into it or anything. So that kind of was one of the reasons I started a blog, purely very, very selfishly. The blog, and actually more importantly the cooking school site, is like a huge resource for me to actually manage my own recipes, to scratch my own itch. So on the cooking school site, I publish, it's got absolutely every recipe I've ever published. So it's got the print books, it's got the recipes from all my ebooks. It's got all the recipes that are published on the blog every week as it's published on the blog. My assistant Caroline does an awesome job. She also publishes it on the cooking school website, so it comes up in searches and there's a copy there. So every recipe that I ever publish, it's all on the cooking school website. And a few years ago I got another of my assistants to count, and there was like 1,157 recipes, and that was probably, I don't know, 3 years ago at least. I don't think Fergal was born, and he's three, so there'd be a lot more than that now, but probably not worthwhile counting. So they just need to know that there's a lot. And actually, when I am wanting to cook one of my own recipes, my go-to is I go to the Stone Soup Birds Cookery School website and just do a search, or use the recipe index. Mostly I just do a search and find the recipe there. So I use it myself a lot, and it's really, really helpful. Of course, if you don't have a blog, don't worry, you don't need to have a blog to keep track of your recipes. So the other part to my recipe management, so that's all the recipes that I've published. And then I have, I use Evernote, which I actually use Evernote to organize all of my life. I love Evernote. It's such a cool app. So it's really, really helpful for just keeping track of stuff. So it comes with, there's like a app you can put on your phone, there's an app for your computer, and then you can also access all your notes online. And it's really, really cool. So there's kind of two parts to my recipe management in Evernote. So I have like two folders, one that's just called recipes, and you actually have access to this. It's a public notebook that I have that I share with my students and with the meal planning members. And pretty much it's just where I clip any recipe that I come across on a blog or online or in a newspaper or in a magazine or in cookbooks. So I either clip it online, or also actually clip the web page, or I'll just copy and paste, or you can actually take a photo, and I do this for most of my cookbooks, take a photo of the recipe and then upload it into that Evernote file. And it's just got everything. And the awesome thing is that even text that's in a photo is searchable in Evernote. So the photos of recipes in a cookbook, if I'm looking for, zucchini recipe, I can, just do a search for zucchini, and all the recipes with zucchini will come up, even if it's the only word, even if zucchini is written in the image and not actually written anywhere else. So it's pretty powerful. And I just find it really, really awesome. So I'm kind of getting into a bit of a habit. I'm not as disciplined with this as I'd like, but it's, when I read a cookbook, I usually go through and doggy the recipes that look really great to me. And when I'm finished with it, I'll just go through and take photos of the recipes that look really cool and upload them into my Evernote recipe folder. So there's like a huge, I can't remember, there's quite a few recipes in there, and you have access to them, so you're welcome to have a look. But it's really, really cool, because then I know if I'm looking for something, that, you know, what did I read somewhere, it's in there. So that's something that you could create on your own. And then the second part to my Evernote recipe organization is I have a folder called My Experiments, and that's where I just record stuff, you know, recipes that are work in progress. So, you know, for example, on the weekend I made like a cauliflower pizza using cauliflower as the main ingredient in the base, and it had egg and parmesan and what else? Oh, almond meal as well. And it was pretty good. So like, it's a work in progress. I'm not 100% happy with it, but yeah, I just jotted down some notes in my own recipe shorthand of what I did, so that when I want to go back and repeat, and I often include in that, if I want to make changes, I, you know, keep track of notes there. So it doesn't take me very long to keep track. And I really, you know, that's how I develop my recipes. So that's pretty much, in a nutshell, that's how I keep organized. And it's amazing, like, just having that one tool of I know everything's in that place. It's really, really, it just works really well. And it's very rarely that I think, oh, you know, look, where is that recipe, you know, when I'm trying to find something. So really encourage you, if you haven't already checked out Evernote, to do that. And it's awesome for organizing the rest of your life as well. Like, I have everything in Evernote. Yeah, my assistant Carolyn and I, we have notebooks that we share, and, you know, we kind of communicate through Evernote as well. And it's really great. I keep everything in there. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. So a nice short podcast this month. In terms of our regular segment of what's inspiring me this month, fresh ingredient, I'm really, really loving my homemade kimchi. So if you're not familiar, kimchi is kind of like it's like sauerkraut. It's a fermented cabbage, but comes from Korea. So there's like some spices in it, and a little bit of bok choy, so a bit of green, and lots of turmeric. So it's really great for gut health, because it has all the, you know, probiotic bacteria similar to yogurt. And I'm super, super, super obsessed with that. And one of the reasons I love having fermented veg in my pantry is that I can, in my fridge, is this, like, you know, I just had some brunch, and, you know, just had some bacon and cabbage and a fried egg, and just pulled out some kimchi, and then, you know, it's an extra serve of veggies just there, and it's really fresh and tangy, and just adds a lot to most meals. So I eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So yeah, really loving that. So recipe coming soon. And then in terms of pantry ingredient that's inspiring me, I've started getting into having some coconut oil every day, just like a teaspoonful, usually after lunch. You know, when you have your lunch and you're like, oh, I'm still a little bit peckish, and you're not sure if it's usually it's not hunger, it's just you just feel like eating more. So I've been having a teaspoon of coconut oil on after lunch, and it's just perfect for just finishing off the lunch. Closes down all the any hunger that you might be feeling, and just really satisfies. And it also, I'm finding that it helps me stay full for longer, so, you know, I'm able to get through to dinner time without getting, you know, as hungry as I can do. In terms of habit that I'm really focusing on this month is meditation. So something that last year I did a course on transcendental meditation and found it really helpful. And I was meditating like 3 times a day, 20 minutes each. And I think, you know, that really made a big difference to being able to fall pregnant last year, just in terms of managing my stress levels and everything. It just makes you feel so much better. But of course, with new baby in the house, it's been hard to kind of, I've just been struggling to make the time, I guess, more, and kind of get into a bit of a routine. So for a while I've been meditating in the evening. So after Finbar goes to bed, doing like just 10 minutes before we have dinner. But I really wanted to get back into meditating in the mornings, because it's just such a nice way to start the day. And particularly having a 3-year-old in the house who is pushing boundaries and likes to test patience, I'm finding that, yeah, like, I'm really missing having that kind of calm. So yeah, just focusing on trying to get my 20 minutes in the morning. So love meditation. And if you haven't ever meditated and you wanted to kind of get into that, I know it's not really related to food at all, but it's so helpful for like just health and well-being. There's an app called Headspace, which a couple of my friends use. I've downloaded it and checked it out, and it's they've got a program called 10, like they've got different guided meditations you can do, but it's a really great introduction. It's very straightforward, and they really like talk you through how to get into it. So if you are interested, recommend checking out Headspace. And then in terms of cookbook, I think I might have had this a few months ago, but Kitchen by Mike, by a guy called Mike McInerney, who's based in Sydney, and he's just like, I've just been rediscovering this book. It's really wonderful. He's just, you know, really has a way with using fresh ingredients and, you know, lots of veggies and just making things taste really delicious. So if you're in Australia particularly, but you could be able to get it online, Kitchen by Mike is well worth checking out. And it's, you know, based on the seasons too, which is kind of nice because you, like, every, at the change of every season, I like to go back and have a look at my cookbooks that are seasonal based and just check out that chapter for that season. So I've just been going through the winter recipes and planning to try a few things. So that's it for this month's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. Please, you know, really interested to see what you think, what you like, what you don't like. If there's any themes that you'd like me to cover, just leave a comment on the podcast page, and I will see you next month. Bye.